This is Ayurveda Chapter 8. The author receives the orders of Krishna and Guru. Tadashvasaram hridayam vadheram
Tadashvasaram hridayam vadheram
Yadriyamana harinamadeyai Namakritye tatraya davakaro
Namakritye
Neche jalam ghatram vaheshu harsha
Neche jalam ghatram vaheshu harsha.
If one's heart does not change, tears do not flow from his eyes, his body does not shiver, and his bodily hairs do not stand on end as he chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it should be understood that his heart is hard as iron. This is due to his offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord's holy name. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, commenting on this verse, which is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, remarks that sometimes a Mahamahaga, or very advanced devotee, does not manifest such transcendental symptoms as tears in the eyes, whereas sometimes a Kanishta Adhikari, a neophyte devotee, displays them artificially. This does not mean, however, that the neophyte is more advanced than the Mahabhagavat devotee. The test of the real change of heart that takes place when one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is that one becomes detached from material enjoyment. This is the real change. Bhaktir Padesan Bhavo Vedaktir Anyatrata. If one is actually advancing in spiritual life, he must become very much detached from material enjoyment. If it is sometimes found that a Kanishta Adhikari, neophyte devotee, shows artificial tears in his eyes while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but is still completely attached to material things, his heart has not really changed. The change must be manifested in terms of one's real activities. Translation again. This is the Father's on verse from the second canto, spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. If one's heart does not change, tears do not flow from his eyes, his body does not shiver, and his bodily hairs do not stand on end as he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it should be understood that his heart is as hard as iron. This is due to his offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord's holy name. Om Ganeshimanandasya Gananjana Swatya Chakshamitamina Tasmashi. Jai Shri Krishna Tanya Prabhupada Shri Advaita Gadadala Shri Vasari Gohar Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You may hear this verse and wonder, well then, what's the hope, what's the point of me chanting Hare Krishna? My heart, evidently hasn't changed. Tears don't flow from my eyes, my body doesn't shiver, my bodily hairs don't stand on end as I chant Hare Krishna. So my heart is hard as iron, and I'm making offenses while chanting. What's the use? You see, Krishna's name is naturally attractive. It's not different from Krishna. So why aren't we immediately achieving perfection? Because we're chanting Hare Krishna. As Shukadeva Goswami points out, the offenses make the hard heart, so that even though you're chanting Hare Krishna, and Krishna is not different from his name, you don't experience these ecstatic symptoms. That's why we always speak about organizing your life so that the chanting has the private place in your life. That's the most important lesson you have to learn, how to organize your life around attentive chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra.
You said so many times.
That is what shows Krishna that you care.
You've given the example so many times about
if someone would organize their whole life around listening to you, how pleased you would be. It is natural that as one seriously chants Hare Krishna, the ecstatic emotions of the spiritual platform start to manifest. But it is offenses that slow this process down. The offenses in chanting. We've explained so many times that in order to have a chance to cut down the offenses, you have to at least organize your day, your physical setting for nice chanting. And then you can start to work on the mind. But if your physical setting, your physical schedule is not organized to make chanting your number one priority, then how are you ever going to get the mind to calm down? Now, first you have to calm down your surroundings, calm down your schedule, so that the chanting has the private place. Then the mind will start to slow down. But if your schedule is upside down, your surroundings are upside down, your mind is also going to be upside down. Once your physical setting is stable and your mind becomes accustomed to the fact that every morning you're going to be chanting Hare Krishna and trying to hear the holy name, gradually the mind starts to calm down. You have to show your mind you're the master. How do you show your mind you're the master? Let your mind know, every morning I'm going to be hearing the holy name. That's just the way it's going to be, you understand? That's how you beat your mind with a stick. You have to show your mind you're the master. Materialistic culture teaches you to take your mind very seriously and be very indulgent in your mind. Oh, my mind is feeling this, it's feeling that. Spiritual culture means to put the mind in its place. You, the spirit soul, are master of the mind and the senses. You beat the mind with a stick, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati said. Not literally. You don't take a broomstick and start patting yourself over the head. You beat your mind with a stick through organization. Organize your lifestyle so that the chanting has the top position in your day. And then let the mind know this is the way it's going to be. You don't like it too bad. By your doing that, you're showing the mind that I'm just tired of being under your influence. You, the mind, are going to submit to my arrangements for chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And after some time, your mind will get the point. Otherwise, you know, the mind has a mind of its own. It does its own thing. It's a product of the material energy. Just like you have to control your senses, this hand, karmendriya, working sense, you have to control it. The hand can't just do whatever it likes. Similarly, the mind also has to be controlled. To do battle with your mind directly is difficult. I'm sure some of you have tried that, right? Some thought comes to your mind and knock, knock, knock. Yes, you tried it? It's not easy. You will be able to do that as you become older devotees, but in the beginning it's difficult. And you may get very discouraged in your approach to Krishna consciousness if you try to do battle with every thought that comes in your mind. You know, you're cooking or you're doing some of the service, all of a sudden.
Yeah.
maybe duck, duck. Maybe a little bit duck, duck. Maybe a lot duck, duck.
Very difficult, isn't it? You had an experience, you know. But then you get depressed, right? It seems hopeless, right? You get, oh God. I'm so bothered by these thoughts. I've been practicing Krishna consciousness 2 whole years. Still have trouble with these things. But if you deal with your mind another way, through by conspiring, making arrangements to put it in its place, that's the easy way. Organize your life so that the mind doesn't get its way. That's much easier than directly doing battle with it. If your day is organized so that whether the mind likes it or not, you get up in the morning and you chant Hare Krishna. Gradually the mind realizes, ooh, this is going to be the program. Mm-hmm. And then if you keep your mind and intelligence purified by immersion in the Shastra, the mind also gets used to that. More than that, you're always thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada once explained like that. Everyone's looking for peace. The mystic yogis are looking for peace. The jnanis are looking for peace. The karmic workers are looking for peace. But, he said, the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they're always peaceful. Why? Because they're always thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness. That is yoga. That's mystic yoga. Always thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness. If you're always thinking how to spread someone's glories, isn't that the sign that you care? So gradually your mind will get used to the fact that you're always thinking how to give Krishna to others. And it's when the mind starts to become peaceful. Then, once you do that, the mind tries to find little chinks in your schedule, you know. But you can easily deal with that. You know, it tries to find little, your day is pretty bulletproof. So the mind tries to find little cracks to seep into. But it's very weak and feeble, and you can really deal with it because you have a good foundation, you've got a good stance. Like in martial arts, as we've explained, if you've got a good stance, and you know what you're doing, it's hard for someone to knock you over. But if you have a weak stance, an expert, like Adide, he can just walk up to you with one finger and knock you down. With a good stance, with a bulletproof day organized, you may be rocked a bit, you know, but you won't lose your balance. That's the point. That's how the mind gradually comes under control. Not so much by direct combat. Thought versus thought. Hand-to-hand combat. Yes, you can do that as you become older, devotee. When your mind becomes weaker in its materialistic strength and your spiritual son is stronger. As you become older, devotees, you can do hand-to-hand combat with your mind. A thought comes into your mind and you just look at it. Okay, what's this all about? Suppose I do this. Then what? How will I feel? You just tell your mind, okay, suppose I agree with you. I'll engage in sense gratification. Then what? What's the whole point of it? What does it do for me? Is it something new? Will I increase in knowledge? Transcendental bliss in eternity? Well, I think of it, I think this is pretty disgusting. You can do that as you become the older devotee. You can do hand-to-hand combat like that. You know, the mind throws something at you. Do you remember when? And he goes, oh, really? Now, what's the sense of that? The front end might look enticing, but let's look at the back end. Once I look at the back end, then I look back at the front end, and the whole thing is disgusting.
That's hand-to-hand combat. You know, thought versus thought. But that takes a while to do that. Your mind has to be very strengthened by studying Prabhupada's purports, where he explains about the tricks of the Dusha energy. In the beginning, generally your mind is too weak for that. You try to go, you know, hand-to-hand combat, thought versus thought, and you'll just, you know, be overrun and depressed. And better to organize your life and deal with the mind that way. Don't leave it opportunity. If you're a strong person, you can sleep with the door open at night, knowing that if a thief, you know, a criminal comes in, you know, you just wake up and pound the guy. But if you're not that strong, then you lock the doors. Don't give the thief opportunity to get in. The thief may be rattling on the windows and all sorts of things, but, you know, you made it difficult for the thief to get in. So that's how you should go about your spiritual life now. Your responsibility is to organize your life so you're not victimized by your mind. That's your responsibility. Here we try to make a nice arrangement for you where you can get a grip on your mind, get free from your past bad habits. We try to, you know, keep to a decent minimum the male-female interaction without being fanatical. But we try to keep it, you know, healthy, so you have a chance to recover. Especially these days, everyone is victimized by passion. So how to reduce those circumstances? Give yourself a break. Take a vacation from that stuff. You know, I think very few of you here are suffering from a lack of, you know, immersion in the male-female pit. A couple of you, I know, yes. You're fortunate in that way. But everyone else has had more than their share. So there's no harm in just taking a break for a while, you know. Sort yourself out, you know. So we try to create an atmosphere here where the, you know, the men and women are in each other's face all the time. If they are, then you know what's going to happen. Material nature will go its way. I was reading how, you know, after September 11th, World Trade Center disaster in New York City, and like 300 firemen died trapped in those buildings. So afterwards, the fire department told all its members, you should console, you know, the glad your way to console the wives, the widows of your slain comrades, you know, your brethren. You know, it's innocently or naively kind of said that, you know, firemen were like a family. You know. I don't know if New Zealand's like that, but they have like the firemen with their own world of, none of you know you have been a fireman. In the States, it's like the firemen, they're like, you know, maybe third generation, three generations of firemen in the same family. They really take pride, you know, for firemen. They like the excitement. The police are also like that. So, yeah, there's an, all right, you know, we've so many firemen died in that disaster, you know, they left widows. We're the fire department, we're going to care for those widows, console the widows. So what do you think happens? The American newspapers didn't say anything, but, you know, the British newspapers reported it, because they're always trying to, you know, get one up on the Yanks so they would put on the front page, you know, secrets from the, you know, fire department in New York. And yeah, you know, so many firemen who try to console the widows end up moving in with the widows. That's just the way it works, you know. What do you expect, you know?
the woman's feeling an emotional need. You know, she lost her man. So you gotta get security somehow. Men don't like to give emotional support without getting paid in return. So therefore, there it goes. So somebody fired him and ended up moving in with the widow. That's just the way it works. So therefore we try to create a peaceful atmosphere here where you can peacefully practice Krishna consciousness, develop your attachment to the holy name. Deal with your mind in that way. Then you become strong enough to go hand-to-hand combat with your mind. But not now. That's why in the old days, we used to talk about the ISKCON sandwich. The morning program was the top piece of bread. Then the activities during the day, practical activities of spreading Lord Chaitanya's mission, that was the filling in the sandwich. And then the evening program was the bottom piece of bread. So we basically had no time for Maya. We were running from morning till night. That's the exhilaration that older devotees remember. Of course, it's true. Most temples now, they don't have that kind of intensity. Therefore, there's so much room for Maya. Here we try to give you the benefit of both things. We try to give you the opportunity to be enthusiastic and fully engaged, like the old days, but with the wisdom that's been accumulated over the years, how to keep a balanced life and a balanced schedule. We want to organize our life so that one day we'll chant without offense. It's not hopeless. We just got to go about things in a careful, considered way. You have to start somewhere. Someone can take you all your life. You have something better to do? Well, we have some couples here who are prepared to spend practically their whole life trying to relate to each other. Right, Michelle? You're a new sign. For my whole life, I'm going to try and relate to you. Right? I'm going to try to understand. Right? But what's, why can't you do that with all the name? Oh, that's too much. Why can't you give to the supreme person? At least if you give to some tiny little person. As one becomes advanced in chanting Hare Krishna, as the purport says, these ecstatic symptoms develop, but such a devotee doesn't like to show them. Because a real devotee doesn't want to be known for being a devotee. To be a devotee is a very high thing. A real devotee thinks I'm very fallen. Just like Lord Chaitanya said, if you see any tears in my eyes, you should know it's just a show. Because if I actually loved Krishna, I would die long ago out of separation. So Lord Chaitanya is showing the standard. If you're in Vrindavan sometimes, you may see these people come into the temple and look at the deity and, then they start rolling on the floor and, carrying on. Showing their ecstatic symptoms. Whenever Srila Prabhupada would manifest ecstatic symptoms on, he would just become very quiet and leave. He doesn't want that. The devotees take these things cheaply. Therefore, the purport says, the real test is your detachment from material life. If there's actual true ecstasy when you chant Hare Krishna, it'll be shown in your detachment from material life. If it is sometimes found that a Kanishtha Adhikari, neophyte devotee, shows artificial tears in his eyes while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but is still completely attached to material things, his heart has not really changed. The change must be manifest in terms of one's real activities. That's another focus we try to do here. We try to make sure devotees don't get caught up in external glitz and glamour of Krishna consciousness, you know? But they actually are dealing with activities in their life that are the sign of change. Not that, you know, I'm a Hare Krishna, I just hang out and say, nectar, ecstatic. Did you hear that far out kirtan tape, nectar? Did you hear about this, nectar, ecstatic? I mean, yeah, part of that is always there, it's part of enthusiasm, but if that's going to be your main diet, you're not going to get very far. You have the responsibility to make advancement in Krishna consciousness by showing real activities. Let the change be seen in your activities. Then we know the chanting is taking effect. We'll go on reading a bit more. Simply chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without offenses vanquishes all sinful activities. Thus, pure devotional service, which is the cause of love of Godhead, becomes manifest. When one's transcendental loving service to the Lord is actually awakened, it generates transformations in the body, such as perspiration, trembling, throbbing of the heart, faltering of the voice, and tears in the eyes. As a result of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one makes such great advancement in spiritual life that simultaneously his material existence terminates and he receives love of Godhead. The holy name of Krishna is so powerful that by chanting even one name, one very easily achieves these transcendental riches. If one chants the holy name of the Lord again and again, and yet his love for the Supreme Lord does not develop, and tears do not appear in his eyes, it is evident that because of his offenses in chanting, the seed of the holy name of Krishna does not sprout. So that's why we're always thinking about avoiding the offenses while chanting. That's why we're concerned with following the regular principles. Of course, the regular principles, they make you a human being. But beyond that, you understand. Here I am trying to chant without offense. If I don't follow the principles, what hope do I have? Follow the regular principles just gets you into the door. Then once you're in the door, into the room of bhakti, you've got to work on reducing the offenses. But if while in the room of bhakti, you don't follow the regular principles, you're way back where you started. Actually, one who's concerned to chant without offense automatically will follow the regular principles. So this all sounds hopeless, yes? How am I going to chant without offense? It seems that year after year, I'm trying. What's wrong with trying your whole life? Now there is hope. That hope we'll be discussing in our next class. There is something that makes the impossible possible.
Otherwise, you're thinking, oh, it's so hard to hear the holy name, so hard to pay attention. What do I have going for me? What? I need some help. There is something that makes the impossible possible. So you don't have to become depressed. Oh, so hard to chant for the tension. I've been trying for a few years now. I've been trying for 10 years, 15 years, 30 years. The fact is, you'll always think that you're not chanting good enough. Even Lord Chaitanya thinks that. I'm so unfortunate, I have no attraction for the holy name. You could be drowning in the ocean of loving God and you'll think, I have no attraction for the holy name of Krishna. As you become more and more spiritually advanced, this lamentation about not being able to chant Hare Krishna properly will become more and more a powerful spiritual emotion. So next time we will discuss the factor that makes offenseless chanting attainable. Otherwise, you can start to see now, it's very difficult. But I chant the Hare Krishna mantra with full consciousness that Krishna is not different from his name. Any questions?
Is there any difference between the atmosphere that should be attempted to be created at the women's night and the men's night? Like, women have this kind of caring attitude towards the guests. So.
Men don't, though.
Not as much.
Why not?
It's not there.
Why not? They're all rugby players or something? Why not? What do you mean the men don't have it?
Don't naturally have that.
Really?
That much. That women naturally do.
Women nurture. Men can care. The men's care is more lasting. What do you mean the men don't care? You care, guys, right? Yeah. Right? How is it that you perceive they don't care?
Not so much that they don't care, just that the atmosphere on the room side is locked. Seems a lot, the guests are more into it. You're like, oh, after.
The men guests or the women guests? Which one?
Yeah, the men guests.
What do you expect? If you were a male guest and, you know, one of our angels approached you, would you like more? Or are you saying that the ladies are more Krishna conscious and so they're just reaching out to others, the men haven't come to that Krishna conscious standard? Is that what you're saying? Well, you tell me. Are the men gruff and, who's here on, who else is here on the men's night to notice? What is your observation?
I haven't seen so much of the woman's nights, but. Yeah, so. I haven't had much experience outside of the court.
Well, you've seen the actors in Hamilton.
Yes, Chris.
And what do you say, Bob?
There doesn't seem to be as many people around the men's night, and then there are various people who can just talk to each other. How am I going to do the dishes?
What do you say, Geneva? Well then, they have male flight attendants on the airplanes. You just have to be taught. Well, then you have to learn these things. How to be a good host. You're a sociable guy. What do you think, Alejandro? Are you here on the men's night?
I don't know.
Which men? Oh, the devotee men.
Yeah.
I noticed that in the past. That still goes on. They just get their own group and rap. Well, that's not very nice. Who is supervising the quality on the men's night? Because Bhagavan's sick, he can't come to eat. Who supervises the quality? So that's why they just huddle together?
Yeah, there is a bit of a mess.
Yeah. Well, why didn't you say something?
To me?
Yeah.
I have talked about it.
Huh? You never talked about it?
I have talked about it. I tried it.
Well, do they listen?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's definitely trying, but it tends to come back to the default to not focusing on the yes, that's important for the life.
Yeah. Mm.
Mm. Often it's not sounding in the area, it's just my PCO and the 2 minutes set out.
Is that enough? Do you think it's enough?
Well, that's a, we have a bang a lot of gifts, you know, one of a lot of things.
Okay, so is there enough there?
Yeah, I'm stuck on it, so that sometimes it's quite difficult to try and talk to some, especially females who come out of yoga, you know, you're crying.
He's ready for his sample. That's all right. But not everybody over there is raring for their sample, I feel, huh? If someone really thinks they're going to be a brahmacharya in the future, okay, I fully sympathize with you, but not all of you are like that. You talk to the guest, Mark?
Yeah.
That's nice. Okay, let there be improvement. So Carl's just saying when they come out of yoga, They're a bit too frisky, huh? Yeah. They're too lively, huh?
Well, some of them talk a lot, and, you know, I don't mind talking to guys.
Fair enough. Fair enough, okay. I have no objection to that. It's all right, isn't it, Camille? I mean, out of all of you, have been, you know, super huge or Mahadrama cleric. Carlos has been very fortunate, so he tends to keep it that way. Hanging up?
Although it might be a desire to make the whole man sin of one's life, the mind I find is not necessarily spontaneously attracted to it.
To what?
To making the whole man. The
you don't ask the mind, are you attracted to making the Holy Name the center of my life? You don't ask, you just do. When you were working, were you attracted to going to work? Well, why did you do it? Okay, so organize your life out of duty so that you'll hear the Holy Name. Don't wait for your mind to feel attracted. Once your life is organized properly, then you can work on the feeling in the heart as you can. Once you have steady circumstances, stable circumstances for chanting, then, and you develop a routine, then you can start to work on the feeling. The heart emanates from chanting the Holy Name. But without proper organization of your setting, you'll never get to that. Dealing with the feeling. Anything else? Are you distributing prasad also? I always say it. You know, that's the solution in small cities like this. The prasad wears them down. I've said it at least a million times. The prasad stimulates them so that even though they've seen you again and again, I told you how in New York in the early days some weeks we were distributing 20,000 Ludlums per week in a city of 12 million and people still remember it. We had so many visitors to the temple program just were pursuing Ludlum. I don't know if any of them had a really good Ludlum. Does anyone know how to make Ludlum? Well, when someone tastes a really good Ludlum with nuts and all the goo in it, right? Raisins and dates and figs. So they just went wild. It changed the consciousness of the whole city.
So I've always said again and again, that's how you deal with small cities, especially where people see you again and again. You've got to distribute prasad too. That makes them hungry to see you again. People can't get the taste out of their mind. So why is it we can't do that? Not enough people to make the balls, or not enough money, or what?
It's quite an extra thing to do to make the shine on this ball.
Do we have a good product? It's a knockout, memorable event when it hits the tongue? The test one. Who makes them?
Different.
Well, that's what I'm sent to do. On the one hand, it's a yajna to make them, but on the other hand, it's a yajna to go out on Sangha and see the same people every day without them. So take your pick. So you have to hunt, are you thinking how to make a business based on prasad here? There's a need for bliss balls, but no one's making it. If it's a question of time more than money, then someone can start a little business to support themselves making bliss balls. That could be a tree. Are the bliss balls as good as Lundus? Or nothing compares to a Lundu, huh? They're expensive, aren't they? No?
Pretty much, but sure, yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
Which are more knockouts?
I
don't know. Vegan. Huh?
Vegan.
What are the legumes having
them? It's figs, raisins, dates, coconut, sugar, peanuts, roasted peanuts.
Peanuts. Yeah. Well, real legumes have something else in them.
Chickpea.
The chickpea balls.
Chickpea.
Yeah, like a bunny. Bunny. Yeah. You put that in.
No, I haven't put it in. I have to put more roasted peanuts in.
But the bunny adds a particular flavor, doesn't it?
The ghost style.
What's that?
The chickpea.
After how many days? Keep them in the refrigerator?
No more than 4 days.
Even if you keep them in the refrigerator?
It's got a soft crunch.
Well, then, that's why in our time we used to make them every morning a big batch. During class. Everyone will be rolling mud loose. Then you go out and say you have to distribute them. I think we didn't simply use peanuts, we used also like almonds and I think I remember almonds. It was quite a luscious thing to bite into. I mean, it was an unforgettable event. Mm-hmm. Have your levels reached that level yet? Unforgettable event?
They're getting it. Still
perfect. Alright, well, bring me the latest sample. And they're nice and gooey.
Yeah.
So when you bite into them, ooh, it's so luscious. You absorb all their lust. It's crunchy, gooey, everything, all in one.
that the letting out?
Again.
I don't know. I kind of think that Sabandhi is irreplaceable. Maybe not. What do you think, Krishna? What does it add? Consistency or something? Or?
It adds consistency. Well, when you're fresh, you're quite crunchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we want them to be fresh. You can put them in plastic bags with a label. Yeah. That's the way we should go, you know. Yeah, I feel for the saint and the one who's going out every day in a small city meeting the same people. I know what it's like. I feel for you, but you got to know how to deal with it. I've been saying the same thing for years. I say it in Christ Church. I say it here. That's just one thing. Just changes everybody around. Is it a question of money or time?
Neither for us.
So then make some for the lady Sankirtan devotees too? Some of the men are ailing, they don't, you know. You're ailing, William. So that's something you can do. Be active, reaching out to others. You can't go out as much as you like. Make something for those who are going out. Who are the ladies here doing book distribution? Is that so cool? Sure. Sure. Julia. Good. Or Jayshree told me she's going to start. Yeah, didn't you tell me that? She told me. She's eager to distribute Krishna consciousness to everyone. So if the ladies can't do it, let the men do it. I remember in Auckland, did we have an arrangement? We used to make them and buy them from, was the ladies made them or the men made them and sold them to the ladies?
The ladies made them.
Oh yeah, they had a rip-off business. They would do anything to support their ashram. So be enterprising. That's my suggestion. How to deal with it. How do you distribute the blissful people if they don't want a book, if they say, I got one, or I see you before, just say, here, take one of these, give a donation. Does it work? Yeah. How many do you do a day? Wow, so there you have it. Just make them knock out stuff. You see, in a small city like this, if you make the balls really sensational, even if it costs you a bit more, the people will remember and they'll start telling others, man, you ever run into one of those guys? Wow. Get one of those balls. It got so intense in New York City when we were doing this, we have people like just searching the whole subway system, looking, you know, where they can get the next fix from. Where are those guys? I gotta have one of those things. Some people would taste them and then just look at the address and come to the temple. You know, just had to find out the source of the taste. So it was an austerity to make them. You know, I remember Bhagavan class, you know, and they pass out the goo and and you have to always keep dipping your hands in water to keep your hands moist and, you know. But what an effect. See, it all started that we used to, for like the top Sankirtan devotees, we used to give them maha lundus, which were like about that big. That was the first prize, you know. Then we gradually realized, well, you know, this is great for us. Imagine if we distributed this prasad. So you started distributing legends about the size of golf balls, a little bit bigger. Of course, one main problem was that the devotees would eat so much of them. But I know our devotee is very health conscious, right? How much do we lose a day from devotee consumption? How many, 25% of the amount made?
It's a factor.
You can ship them to other devotees. You can ship some to Mantramala. Do you like lovely? It gives you distributed. You have to be more creative, you know? Let's not become so ingrown and lazy, you know? I know some of you have to deal with your health problems, health challenges. I understand that. Puts you in a certain mentality. I know what it's like. Takes up a lot of your concentration. Or keep your spiritual side and avenge you with your health. But we've got to keep reaching out, being a bit more creative, extending ourselves. So if you're going to go out and distribute books, in a city like this where they see you, what, you know, you've got to have some prasad that just makes them, you know, want to see you again. Otherwise it is tough. How many years, Krishna, how many years have I been saying this?
I know you said it, we locked in the new market.
Yeah.
And then we locked in towards you.
Why? What's the difficulty?
Well, we do it for a while, and then...
Do you notice the effects when you do it for a while? We haven't done it long enough to...
We've done it for quite a long amount of time. Mm.
I haven't tasted any of this really knockout as of yet. I've tasted really healthy things, but I haven't tasted something that's just a, you know, knockout sensation. You know, I've tasted everyone's conceptions of what something healthy should be like. And I've had made comments that, well, I don't know, but people are really into health, you know. Right? Haven't I said that? But, you know, back then, you know, they all, you're all attached to your own conception. No, no, it's got to be healthy, it's got to not, you know, use, you know, what is it, you know, raw sugar or this or that and the other. Like I'm saying, I don't know if the people are into all that. No, 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 the people, they're different. Now you find out the guys have been, you know, making luscious mud blues. Has anyone complained, well, this is not healthy?
They are kind of healthy.
Even with the sugar?
Yeah, people just eat fruit. They're healthy. Mm-hmm.
The lug blues are much more alive than the bushballs. The bushballs have become frozen.
Yeah, I just bushballs haven't really turned me on. A lug blue is just, it's just a sensual experience, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit fruity and...
when it's fresh, it's fruity, gooey, and crunchy. It just hits all the different aspects of your mouth. You get the crunch sensation, you get the goo, you get the slurp, it's all there. So let me have a sample. But you should really, I think, try to work in the bundi because that gives it the crunchiness. I guess like a Nestle's Crunch or something. The bundi does that. You get the crunch combined with the goo. Yeah, the whole treat for the mouth.
I've found this one, Jeremy's one, they have a very nice taste and gross appeal with the fruit. Of course, they do different nuts.
That's what I just said.
You roast them in a strong thing.
Yeah, we used to put almonds in them. And yeah, you just have to experiment. Just make it, if you're going to do it, make it a knockout. I've been saying this for years.
We tried the healthy ones. I remember in Auckland. I was into it for a while, but that you just but no one was able to produce like a super sensational healthy blissful. You remember ever a super sensational healthy blissful?
I
guess
I didn't mind, but it's not something that, it's like a knockout.
Yeah, it's just something you look at label, oh, it's good for your health, okay. And it's a little bit nice, okay. But we want something to stop people in their tracks. A whole experience for their mouth, crunch, slurp. Melts in the mouth, and yeah, all sorts of things all at once. That's the ultimate blood loop. Any of the ladies know how to make them? Oh, that's right. The dessert queen. Well, can you come up with a better product than Jeremy's? You're going to shoot a show that looks the beans. No problem. Oh, you got competition now. Once the dessert queen gets into it, it'll be artistry. It'll be a visual and taste delight. All right, come up with your, award-winning painting. So we have to think about these things, not be just locked into, doing things mechanically. Send other distributors out day after day in a small city. Come on, do it. Strong as I hate. You'll feel very happy going out with legends, right? Go cool. All right.